Hey, this is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction show. Truth, because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Welcome to LOA Today. Walt and Joel here on Thursday, February 11th, 2016. Almost 3 days now from Valentine's Day. And this is another day where we come up with another variation on our theme. And the theme today is spirals. And we're not talking about spirographs from that game from the 1970s or whatever it was. We're talking about life spirals where life can either spiral up and everything's going great, or it can spiral down and everything's going really, really bad. And we've experienced both of them, Joel. We were talking about that before the show. We've experienced both of those in our lives, and it's one of those things that when it's going down, you have to find the way to turn around. And when it's going up, you ride it like you're riding a good wave. And that's what we're talking about today.
And I was sharing with you before we started recording, when I was in the middle of my addiction, I wanted to quit so bad. But yet at the same time, my behavior didn't match that I wanted to quit. In fact, it just propelled me deeper into a further addictive behavior. And the law of attraction and I, again, it was working. It was working on the side that I didn't want it to work. And I literally remember just one bad decision after another creating further spiraling down. And it just became a self-fulfilling spiral, I called it. I mean, even back then, before I knew the law of addiction, I said, the law of attraction.
Law of addiction.
it applies. Actually, we have a new theory there. But it really does apply that when I start going down and I make my decisions based on the downward spiral, it's just a continual set of bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And that just led me to just unbelievable depths. And when I find that I've also had periods of spiraling upwards where everything I was doing was going right, everything I would touch would work out perfectly, the difference between the two, and I now identify it, and this is really important, is in the downward spiral, I had become accustomed to saying, see, this is what I'm expecting, this is what I deserve, this is who I am,
mm-hmm.
And I did it. But the upward spiral, it was like, wow, that's unusual, that worked out well. I mean, so I had become sort of accustomed to the concept that downward spiral was my norm, and the upper spirals were just brief random bits of luck.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the way I would say it feels to anybody who experiences any significant number of downward spirals.
Yes. And I hear people often say that's had some either good fortune or a good run or depending on what, you know, just things in their life have gone very well. It's almost like they don't want to talk about it. I was working with a client yesterday who he does high-end management for athletes, like some really big-time athletes and stuff. He's a manager. So he was telling me, I said, well, how's business? And he said, it's growing really well. I have a couple of potentials. And he said, but I can't talk about them because I don't want to jinx them.
Yeah.
And I said, so you've convinced yourself by talking about them would actually make that a negative. By ignoring them, you can make that a positive. And that was sort of the point of our session yesterday, of understanding how we sort of believe that, well, if I say good things or I'm going to wait for the other shoe to drop because something good happened, that becomes part of that whole thing that you and I have discussed many, many times, that just becomes what our mind is focusing on. Well, sure, the other shoe's going to drop because that's just what we brought into our life.
And it's exactly what we thought about, and it's what we expected. I mean, if we're going to believe that the law of attraction actually works in our lives, then we also have to believe that it works every time that we expect something. It doesn't matter whether what we expect is good. It just means that when we expect something, it's going to happen. And
yep,
sure enough, it does. Like 99.99% of the time, we immediately can see it. The rest of the time, we sometimes have to wait for it, but it shows up eventually. The hard part, perhaps, is connecting the two events together. The other thing that I notice about downward spirals is that they can be really challenging in terms of the question that we really don't want to ask. And when I say don't want to ask, I mean from the perspective of wanting to attract good things into our lives. those of us who understand what the law of attraction says desperately want to avoid this question, but it's the question that we almost always want to ask, and even those who don't know the law of attraction, they ask it all the time. That question is, what am I doing to cause this? What am I doing to make this happen? You know, what's it going to take for me to change and turn this around? Why is this continuing to be that I am having all these bad experiences? And of course, every single one of those questions refocuses us on the very thing we don't want.
Yes, exactly, and that's how this comes into play, and this is how the law of attraction works. This is how it, and that's why it seems for so many people that try it that they get stuck, and it is working in either direction, and it's like, well, it doesn't work. Well, no, it becomes part of that thought process, and in the middle of it, I don't care how good you are at it, it is so difficult to put the brakes on. It really is.
Yeah, you have to really stop yourself and say, okay, I understand that if I continue to focus questions about why this negative thing is happening, I'll just be attracting more negative things. Now, what was it again that I am supposed to focus on instead? Okay, wait a minute. I know it's positives, so I have to find positives. There are no positives. Yes, there are. Where are the positives? But there aren't any positives. Yes, there are. We just have to look for them. Where are they? And that's kind of the mental game you're playing, trying to figure out how do I get myself over to that space. And then finally, when you can start saying, oh, yeah, there are some good things going on right now. I mean, there are things I can be very grateful for because, you know, they're good in my life. They continue to be good in my life. And so I'll start focusing there. And, oh, you know what? I'd forgotten. It's really a sunny sky today, blue sky. Like, I should be appreciating that. Why didn't I notice that before? That's how you start climbing out, because then you start noticing all the good stuff going on, and that does two things. First, it stops you from focusing on the bad stuff, and second of all, it gets your mind onto the track you want it to be on, off the track you don't want it to be on.
Well, and believe it or not, there are ways to look at, and I agree with you completely, but I have an example for me is earlier this week, I had that day start off, and in the big scheme of problems, I don't want to ever remotely act like this was a big set of problems, but on the way into work, I go down this one road before I get on the road to my office, and there's six red lights in a row. Well, it's, you know, normally you catch one or two, you know, some great days you just run right through and it timed perfectly and you make them all. And then there's those random days where you just catch every light. And each one is, you know, a two-minute light. So that literally adds like 12 minutes to your ride into work. Well, I was going into work and caught the first one. I wasn't really thinking about it. And then I got a call while I was at the light about a problem I was having with a client. And I had to get that client calmed down. And then I realized I caught the next light. And then the next light. And then I called with another problem from the bank. And once somebody wrote me a pretty large bad check. And so I was like, oh, my God, caught every single light. and by the time I got to the office, now I'm having to call about the check, call the guy about the check. And I was just like, well, what else could go wrong today?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And well, trust me, there's a lot more that could go wrong if I start asking that question.
And yeah, that was the path you were on, too.
And that was the path I'm on. But one of the things that pulled me out of it very quickly is I took a time out, and I just had booted up my email, and one of the first ones I saw is a friend and former colleague that is undergoing some really bad health problems right now. And she is in the hospital, and she may not make it out. She has some breathing issues and been a longtime smoker and has a lot of stuff going on. And the email was, please remember this friend in your prayers and thoughts that she is possibly not going to make it. She's on a ventilator, and she's in a medically induced coma. Well, and you can say, well, my goodness, Joe, how does that motivate you? And I looked, and I said, I'm breathing perfectly. I'm able to go to work. I am nowhere near the condition that she's in. I am, and I took that. Of course, I said a quick thought and prayer for her, sent my positive energy her way. But at the end of the day, I used that in a way of, wow, I need to get off my pity pot here. Things are really a good day today. I'm in great health. I have the ability to make a living, and I changed that perspective, even from what most would perceive as a negative email. And as I often will say when I discuss stuff like that, that is no means minimalizing what my friend's going through. I'm certainly hoping she pulls through. I'm hoping she will make changes to her health in the future or her lifestyle that will help with her health. But I use that email to remind myself of the areas of blessings that I could not see at that moment because I was stuck in what else could go wrong mentality.
In essence, what we're talking about here is directly related to one of the many very interesting posts you tend to post on Facebook. This one you posted just recently. It was a picture of a glass of water, half full. And the caption says something to the effect, most people think in terms of whether the glass is half full or half empty, but what they really should be thinking about is how to refill the glass.
Yes.
Which is exactly what we're talking about here. You don't have to be stuck in, well, am I positive or am I negative? You don't have to be there. That's not a good place to be anyway.
No. When you're using that positive and negative thought, because our baseline has been for so long negative in our society, that's actually a negative way of thinking. Is this positive or this negative? If you have to debate it, it generally is based on a negative. If you take something and say, I need to reboot, I need to restart, I need to come at it from, you use the term appreciation, I use the word gratitude often, but look at the things that what do we want, what do we not want? And that becomes the factor for me when I start using this tool every goal that I have for myself is very achievable because I'm in excellent health. I have the ability to obtain these goals. I have the path to obtain these goals. The limitations are only self-imposed of my goals, and I understand that. And I have to be reminded of that sometimes. And when I get myself in that mindset, then the day turns instantly. That same day that started out so bad, after I was able to make this readjustment or refill or whatever term you want to use, it equally was an incredible day, as it was a very productive day.
In fact, excuse me, now that I think about it, I had a day just like that this past week. Actually, I had a few of them, but there was one day in particular this past week that was just really, really difficult. That day, I woke up in a fairly decent mindset, although I had some fears I was dealing with. And bottom line is, as soon as I started actually doing the active part of my day, all of a sudden, one after another, one problem after another, one crisis after another, bang, 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 bang. I'm not talking about, 30 minutes apart. I mean like 2 minutes apart. So that, it almost feels like you're a fighter in a ring and the opponent's going bam, bam, bam on your chin.
Right.
Which is exactly how it feels when you're in that down spiral. It feels like everything is working against you. So you're right. That's when you have to start focusing on what you're grateful for or what you appreciate. And if you're having trouble finding that, find anything to feel good about. I mean, grateful and appreciative are important because they help us get into a positive frame of mind. But if that's not doing it, pick something else. Pick anything. I mean, one of my favorite things to do if I'm really just struggling is to get an old tape of Robin Williams on the Bravo TV show Inside the Actor's Studio. He was on that show around 2001, something like that. And the first 15 minutes of that are so hysterically funny that if you can't laugh at it, you don't have a sense of humor. It's that funny. So
right.
I'll just play the humor for myself and make sure, this is really important, make sure that I physically laugh. Because if I do, it doesn't matter what kind of funk I'm in. All of a sudden, it disappears really, really quickly.
Humor
so anything positive
baseball.
That you do is going to turn it out, pull you out of that spiral and put you into a positive spiral if you really keep at it.
That is such a great idea. Humor is, uplifting music for many people is really a positive. Anything along those lines that can be a tool to use your, most people, equate gratitude or appreciation it usually is the most universal positive stance you can be in. But these other tools, if you can't quite find the gratitude, can't quite find the appreciation for anything, humor can be another way to that. I have one particular client that I deal with that I really enjoy working with, but she deals with some severe depression, and she's been to multiple counselors for this over the years, and she's on all different kind of medications. Well, I know every week when she comes in, I cannot ask her how her week's been, because it will, the answer is always going to be horrible.
Mm, yeah.
I start off with, she's very much into sci-fi and different kinds of TV genres that, you know, similar to that. And I start talking to her about the new X-Men movie, or I start talking to her about, you know, what I heard that there's going to be a new Dexter on Showtime coming out, and all this stuff that she's into. And she then gets really, you know, uplifted by that.
Which is cool, because that means that despite all the other stuff that doesn't seem to work for her, she's got something that works, that
right.
she can lean on, that she can rely on.
Right. So what she's discovered in this process, and this is after being in therapy for years, you know, sitting down with your therapist and saying, okay, I'm depressed. Well, tell me why you're depressed. I mean, this back and forth, you know, you have a tool to get your mood elevated, whatever works for you. And elevate the mood, get out of the funk, and then you will be able to see the world from an entirely different perspective. We've used this tool for a long, long time now, and after 10 minutes of talking about, you know, her shows and stuff that matter to her and her writings, she's able to discuss the other stuff. Everybody else has always tried to go right in and just try to defeat the depression, which she becomes resistance to, and then all of a sudden you spend an hour of her being miserable and not talking. And that's something that she's learned by applying the law of attraction her way. That doesn't, and that's one of the factors that I think is missed by a lot of people, is you've got to figure out what your uplifting things are. Humor, gratitude, no matter what area you live in mentally, what works for you? What are things you're passionate about? And that could be a big difference, learning how to apply that toward getting, like you said, the Robin Williams thing. It is hilarious. I've seen it. And if you have the wherewithal in the funk to press that play button, that's amazing. That'll help.
It does help. And in fact, it's the one thing that we can do to prepare, to make ourselves ready. In fact, you have to prepare. If you don't go out of your way before that negative spiral happens, to actually prepare and have something ready for you, you'll have trouble finding it when the time comes. So you actually have to go out of your way and make sure you have, if for you it's the Robin Williams recording like it is for me, I went out and I found a copy of that and put it on my computer so that if the bad times happen, I can just go and play it instantly. So I don't have to think about it anymore.
Yes.
But if I didn't do that preparation, when the negative spiral comes, all of a sudden it's like, oh, what do I do? What do I do? Why is this so bad? And then I'm back into the negative spiral again. You have to have the preparation.
Right.
My wife Louise actually just came up with a really interesting idea, and we're going to implement it. She is going to start going through internet searches and so forth, looking for pictures of people with happy, smiling faces. And then she's going to print them all out and put them up all over the house so that anywhere we go, we're going to see happy faces smiling at us.
Wow.
Which is a really interesting concept, because we already know just from the science of happiness that scientific studies have shown that we have what are known as mirror neurons, which means if we see somebody smile at us, it's as if we smiled. Our inner mind, mind's eye, whatever, acts and behaves, and in fact they can see it on a CT scan, it acts as if we are smiling, even though the smile was coming at us. So
right.
You put all these smiles up around, and it our theory is it's going to be really difficult to have a bad day just by looking around the house.
Well, that's a brilliant tool, and it will, those type things are tools that you can put in place, especially if for people that are going through difficult times and you find yourself daily having doubts or getting into that negative mindset. If you have that positive stuff around you, it's amazing what it can do for you. And I use that tool a lot with clients. I've used a therapy session before where, you know, we do this ridiculous, almost, you know, overblown smiling exercise.
Oh, yeah.
Where, you know, you just smile. I mean, we have 10 minutes of just smiling back and forth, and it inevitably leads with us ending in laughter. And no matter how bad it was when we started, there's going to be some laughter from that. There are all kinds of positive chemicals released from a smile, seeing someone smile. It's very difficult not to smile at someone when they smile at you.
Do you do that routine that Sean Aker talks about where you're sitting about 2 feet across from each other and you're smiling directly into each other's faces? Oh, yeah. That's just... if you can't find yourself smiling within about 10 seconds of doing that, you need to check yourself in with your nearest Joel Elston clinic, because you definitely have not spent enough time learning how to feel good.
Well, it inevitably works. And these are tools that we can add to our arsenal when the spiral starts. Sometimes you can't even do it when the spiral starts. You have to be in the middle of the spiral before you realize that, boy, this is spiraling out of control. And when you have that identification, the quicker you can apply your tools to reset and not allow the decision-making to be affected, because, as I had mentioned in before we started on the show today, in my addiction, my choices my decisions were horrible in the middle of spirals, and they created other spirals. And it would just be a sort of a screw it mentality. Let me do this, and that decision led to much more damage than the spiral itself was going to create.
That's a really interesting point, because if you take kind of the invoice of the invoice, yeah, you can see what's on my mind. The inverse of that, if you take the inverse point, it also works on the positive side. So if you have a positive spiral going, you can actually start a bunch of sub-spirals off of that one that can actually turn into this huge fountain of spiraling, with not just one, but you know, dozens of them all going on at the same time. And like you pointed out, I don't remember if you pointed out during the show or before the show, but it's amazing how we think in terms of negative spirals being the normal part of life, but positive spirals being the exceptions to the rule, which shows just how often we stay in the mental space of negativity, because that is where we've decided is where reality actually is. It's actually just our choices that put us there. It's our own, you know, default thinking pattern that put us there. And we can climb out of it. But interesting that we come to that conclusion that if you're going through life, most of what's going to happen to you is going to be negative, and the positives are going to be few and far between. In fact, I've even heard, and I'm sure you've heard this too, I've heard scientific researchers into the psychology of positive and happiness basically saying, I can think of one in particular who said this, that it is normal for us to go through life without having lots of happiness happen. Happiness is the exception to the rule. And the person who said that, in case you're curious, Joel, is Martin Seligman, who is now a major happiness psychological researcher, but he used to actually research the opposite.
Yes.
He was actually very much into various forms of personal alienation in terms of the psychology he was studying. It was a major breakthrough for him to make that change, I'm sure. But it's so easy. I mean, if a professional can fall into that pattern, you know, what hope do laymen have?
Well, and that's such a legitimate statement that we for so long were told that wait for the other shoe to drop, you know, something good happened, let's knock on some wood to reinforce that so nothing bad happens. There is so much superstition involving the negative. It's like the negative is around the corner, so you don't want to be too excited when the good things happen. Because the bad things are about to happen too, so you want it to balance out. And that's a big belief for most people, actually.
Oh, yeah. I would say probably the overwhelming majority of the population stay in that belief pattern and do so on a regular basis.
Right. And this is where we go from our way of thinking into the law of attraction, where how we're going to use it to our advantage, is if we can accept downward spirals happen. I don't know anyone that could argue that's lived life for any length of time. You have to accept upward spirals can happen.
That's true. And they do go together. It's not like the life is devoid of the second one.
Right. I know early, and this is, it's going to seem like a counterintuitive example, but it's sort of my theory on addiction for gamblers. As you know, and most of our audience probably knows, I'm a recovering compulsive gambler. It's been a long time since I placed a bet, but early when I was gambling, I could not lose. I would just, every time I'd go, I'd win. it was amazing. I just thought, who would go to work when I could make all this money? I remember going to a hotel and casino in Las Vegas, and they gave me a line of credit, and I never got down, and I walked out with $5,000, never having to put money up.
Wow.
And I remember thinking, how does this place stay in business? And over the years, when my attitude toward gambling changed and then I started losing, I could not win at the end for the life of me. I really couldn't. It would go equally the way I won in the beginning, I lost at the end. Because
sure.
My mindset, I started anticipating losing because of all the bad stuff. I was sure I was going to lose when I would go gamble. And that, sure enough, became self-fulfilling, where I could not win at all. The last few months I gambled, it was just sad because there was no chance of me winning.
Right.
And I see that my mindset has everything to do with that. And because I'm a compulsive gambler, recovering compulsive gambler, I don't have I don't gamble. If I gamble, that's a negative. So I have no chance of ever that being a tool that I can use to my benefit any longer, because I don't anticipate that. I don't equate that to positive on any level. But early, I could not lose. That was amazing. I mean, people thought, you're the most lucky person I've ever met.
And isn't it interesting, too, that if you think about it metaphorically, how many people go through their life gambling? I don't mean gambling money. I mean just gambling with what's going to happen in their lives and lose.
Oh, yeah.
On a regular basis.
Well, and most people, what most people that I deal with run across is I call it the cellophane wall, not the brick wall, the cellophane wall. You know, it's just this, they're conditioned that nothing's going to work. So once they attempt to do something and they hit the slightest bit of obstacle, they stop.
Mm.
And they, the example, this happened several years ago. One of my clients was a young man, and he came to me, and he had a bad gambling problem. And one of the things, first of all, very bright young man, good family, just somebody you really enjoyed being around, but he had a really bad gambling problem.
Mm-hmm.
He dropped out of college with literally 4 credits left.
Wow.
And was convinced that, oh, I can't finish, I can't do this. And so we got him propped up, got his mindset back, and he was going back to his hometown where his university was located, and I said, you know, when you get back, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to go enroll, and you're going to, you know, get started, and you'll be done with it. I mean, you'll be done. It's just, you know, a few months here. You're done. And he was all excited about that, and I reinforced that with him every day before the week before he left. So when I took him to the airport, said, as soon as you get home tomorrow, as soon as it opens tomorrow morning, I want you at the school. I want you to get enrolled and get this knocked out. I'm going to, Joel. I'm so excited. So midday, I hadn't heard from him, so I knew there was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I called him and said, what happened? He said, oh, I called up at the school. First of all, he called. He didn't go like I asked him to go.
Right.
And they told me because I have incompletes, I'm not able to go back and finish.
Oh, dear.
And I'm like, really? And he said, yeah. He said, I knew it was, I had all my hopes up. He said, screw it, I guess I'm just cursed. And I said, well, you know, I'm finding this really difficult. So we called, we did a three-way call. And I actually called the lady. I said, hi, I have so-and-so on the phone with me. You spoke with him yesterday. And she goes, yes, I'm really glad he called back. And I said, well, he said that he wasn't able to enroll in school. And she goes, no, that's not exactly what I said.
Mm.
She said, I said that because you have incompletes, we can't re-enroll you right now. And she said, before I could say, but, he hung up the phone.
Oh, my.
And she said, I didn't have a contact number to reach him. She goes, but all he has to do is go to the professor who gave him the incomplete, explain the situation, and he's a very nice professor. He will certainly be glad to just remove it or act like it never happened or whatever. And but here, in fact, he's in the office now. Let me put you through. So we get on the phone. We start talking, and it, it the guy was so supportive, and he goes, oh, my goodness, my family has had addiction issues as well. I wondered what happened to you. In fact, not only will I not do that, he said, if you re-enroll in my class, he said, the work you did, which is halfway through, I will already credit that, and you really only, you're basically there.
All he had to do was complete the class.
All he had to do was complete it. Just show up, complete it, you're there. It will be done in 2 months.
Wow.
And
what a difference.
But his perspective was so set on a negative outcome, he invited the negative outcome, and if we didn't follow through, it would have been a horrible negative outcome.
Sure.
But he was so excited that the professor, because he was embarrassed at first and all this, then he was excited that the professor was so willing to work with him that he just, it, he was a different person. Turns out he goes to class, ends up getting an A. It's been several years ago. He's out of school now, employed with a good job that he wouldn't have been able to get without his degree. So there's so much positive that came out of that same perception of negative.
One of my favorite quotations from Abraham Hicks, whom we've talked about numerous times, is that you don't, and this is an exact quote, I never get the quotes exact, I don't know why, but one of these days I'll actually write them down so I can do them exactly. But the gist of the quote is that if you are keeping score of how things are going in anticipation of, well, when's everything going to turn around, it's not going to turn around because you're keeping score on the negatives. So
right.
Instead of keeping score, keep track of how you're feeling. If you can keep track of how you're feeling and give yourself points every time that you're feeling good, do that long enough, there may be a bit of a span of time there because you're still working through keeping yourself in a positive place. But just focus on feeling good, and all of a sudden the score will catch up with you. Now, that's a very long, drawn-out version of what they said. Theirs is a much more compact version, which is why they get the big money. But the simple fact is, that's what I used when I had that episode earlier in the week, where everything was going wrong, bang, 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 bang. I knew I had to do something positive, and you know what the first thing was that came to my mind? It was to laugh, laugh at the silliness of, what are the odds of all these things happening at the same time, practically, one after another, like, you know, rapid fire? And when I thought about it that way, I just started to laugh helplessly. And that turned the corner. I mean, I can't say that the day automatically turned into an upward spiral. That's not the way it was going to work, because I still wasn't in a great frame of mind. But because I improved my frame of mind, the spiral stopped, and I could take a deep breath and go, oh, thank goodness that's over. What was the good stuff again? And then laugh again. And that's the way the rest of my day went. I was actually, every 5 minutes, just kind of collapsing in this bout of releasing laughter of how crazy that whole thing had been. I mean, what are the odds that you get 25 things happening in a row that were really, really difficult problems?
Right. It seems impossible, but when you understand that the law of attraction is at work, it's just, you know, that you, what you're saying is, I dropped a pen off the, my, an ink pen off my table 25 times and it fell to the ground every time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the law of gravity is absolute and complete and never wavering. The law of attraction is the same thing, and so the odds are really good that it was going to happen that way, because that's what you slowly or unintentionally were anticipating each time.
It reminds me of the old rhyme about, for the lack of a nail, the ship was sunk. And it's just one long negative spiral of all these things that go wrong that ultimately lead to the ship sinking. It makes me wonder, what would happen if we were to rewrite it and say, because of a nail, a ship stayed afloat?
Right. Right.
Which isn't as dramatic, perhaps, but it's certainly a lot healthier.
Well, and you hear of, over the weekend, a few weeks, two or three weeks ago, I read this thing on the internet. I found it very bizarre. I don't even know what country it was in, but there's a guy that was a bomber on an airline, and he had a bomb on him in his laptop, and again, this was a few weeks ago. He blew it up on the plane, and it opened up a hole in the plane and sucked him out.
Yeah, I remember
I'm not laughing at him. I'm just saying that was a, you know, obviously a, But the reality is he was the only one that was injured on that plane.
Which was remarkable.
Which is remarkable. So, you know, the concept there of the law of attraction, you know, I was on a, how many times you say I was on a plane with a bomb and it worked out well?
I would say probably zero.
Zero. And yet, if you look at it, the other 150 people or however many people were on that plane are like, this is probably the best day of my life. I mean, or there will be some of them that will be treated for post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are going to be traumatized by the fact the bomb went off. Others will look at it like, I am the luckiest human on the planet.
Such as the person who sat next to the guy who got blown out of the plane.
Yeah, and I mean, for the explosion to go against and just pull him out, then the cabin pressure, you know, stabilized. They get down where there's enough air, and they made their flight. It's amazing.
It was amazing, and the one thing I wished when I saw the news reports is that the news reports had talked about how wonderfully amazing it was. They didn't do that. And of course, that's typical of news reports. News gets sold, and the advertisers are willing to sell their stuff on the news because people will listen to it, because it focuses on how terrible all the things are. But you're right. There was a terrific example of how, except for one person who just, you know, got themselves into such a bad place that they create a horrific result for themselves, everybody else around them managed to have a terrific result, a fantastic result, because they lived through a situation that normally would have killed many, many people. That's phenomenal.
And when we can see that taking place, there was I'm reminded of this. We talked about this on the show a long, long time ago. But I will never forget, I was living in South Carolina, and I was watching the evening news. That was before I made a decision to turn off the news, and which I do now, for the most part. So I was watching this news, and it was talking about this lady and her two children were living in this home, and the home burned down. Well, the news lady was there, and she was interviewing her, and she was literally trying to get her to fall apart. And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry, what happened? She said, well, you know, apparently the hot water heater. She said, we got the kids out, we got the cat out, you know, we have some clothes, we're going to stay with my mom tomorrow, we have insurance, we're just blessed, everybody's safe, thank goodness. Well, the news reporter went on and said, well, but what about your pictures? What about the stuff you can't be replaced? And again, the lady said, I have pictures on the internet, they're backed up, it's no problem there. Again, there's nothing but physical stuff. We'll get more of that. In fact, my son's happy because I told him we can get the new PlayStation. So really, we're great. And the reporter almost could not accept that she was handling it that way. She said, but you've lost everything. And the lady looked in the camera, and I love this answer. She says, no, everything was saved that mattered.
Which totally is a fantastic perspective. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and so when you look at it that way, another person's trauma is just another person's, like, blessing. Because she realized her two kids and even a cat got out alive. They have a place to live that night. They had insurance. Everything's going to be replaced. Nobody was hurt. Who cares? And it's just, it just really, when you can start living, that's two different ways to look at it. And you literally saw the reporter getting frustrated that this lady wouldn't break down and cry on camera.
Which is very typical, but it's also very illustrative.
Yeah.
And in fact, here's another Abraham Hicks thing. Every problem is a two-handled stick. The one handle is the one about how bad the problem is. The other handle is the flip side of the problem.
Yes.
Or another way to look at the same thing, if you're thinking about things in terms of what we attract into our lives, there are actually two sides to everything. There's the thing itself, and there's the lack of the thing.
Yes.
And the question is, are you going to focus on the lack of the thing, or are you going to focus on the thing? It's the same principle. It's just applying it a little bit differently.
Absolutely.
And the very simple fact is, any situation, any event, any experience is a two-handled stick. So we really get an opportunity every single time to decide which end of the stick we're going to pick. It's not like we're forced to take one end. You right. must take the negative end.
Right.
You are doomed for all time to take the negative end of the stick. No, that's not the way the stick works. You can pick. It's up to you.
And I love that perfect example, because no matter what happens, your response to it is going to be the key to it. This lady's response to her house was burning down. It almost wasn't even inconvenient for her. It just truly didn't seem. She was just in such a great mindset that, you know, the kids were happy. She did a great job with the kids. You know, what an amazing job of parenting. Telling them, here's the positive. You know, you're going to get to upgrade your PlayStation. You're going to get a new cell phone. You're going to get, you know, insurance is going to get us all this new stuff. And we weren't hurt. The cat's okay. The pictures are backed up. There's nothing that's lost in the house that isn't replaceable. And that mindset was so amazing. But just like you're talking, the we are conditioned to think, your house burned down, there's really almost nothing worse that can happen than that. And that's not true. That becomes
actually, there are much worse things that can happen than that,
yeah.
But we don't want to go there.
Right. But it's almost like the reason the news media went out there that day was simply to get the negative side. Well, how poor this lady was, because she wasn't poor, she was obviously a professional. But she, how pathetic this was, how much loss there was, and the lady even went as far as the victim of the house burning, even went as far as they asked, the Red Cross was there, and she said it was very nice of the Red Cross to offer us, put us up for a hotel for as many nights as we need, but truly, we're fine, we don't need that help, let's save that money for people that really need it, and just a solid positive as you can be when your house burns down. And to me, I was more impressed with what she was modeling to her kids than anything else. Her kids could have been horribly traumatized by that. They just, I always wish I could follow up with her and see, because the kids just truly just moved on. Where I have seen kids that have been in house fires in similar situations, because the parents were so traumatized by it, the kids were traumatized by it.
Absolutely, yeah. And in fact, it also occurs to me that there are two ways to look at what the reporter went through.
Yeah.
On the one hand, we could look at it as if, wow, that reporter is really attracting negativity into his or her life. And I wouldn't want to be that reporter for anything, because, man, the tsunami of negativity that he or she is drawing into his or her life is one that I wouldn't want to be anywhere near. That's the negative way to look at it. The positive way to look at it is, wow, what an opportunity that reporter had to starkly see the difference between the way the reporter was looking at life and the way the interviewee was looking at life. This was like the best opportunity that reporter could ever possibly have had to recognize, wow, there really are two vastly different ways to look at the same situation.
And I wish now that I don't even remember the exact town all this happened in. I would like to go back, or if I could remember, is that reporter still there? Remind her and say, you know, I always wondered, did you ever pick up on that?
Yeah.
Because it would be, you were given a gift that night, whether you received it or not, I don't know, but you were given a great gift. And that idea, because what she was sent out to do, and I know people that do local TV and all that, and there's nothing more impressive than a mom crying for the promo for the 5 o'clock news about, we lost everything, with tears running down her face and the smoke coming up from her house behind her. That's the kill shot for the lead news.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, this lady wasn't giving her that kill shot. She was like, it's just no big deal. It's just, you know, you can ask me a thousand times, I'm not changing it. Why do you want it to be so bad? I mean, it's almost what it felt like. And that reporter was given that opportunity that day, that I truly hope she said, I want to start mimicking that way of thinking.
And it wasn't just the reporter who was given the opportunity, now that I think about it, because this was broadcast.
The audience.
That means everybody who was watching that had the exact same opportunity. They themselves could have asked themselves the same questions that the reporter was asking, or they could have asked themselves the same questions about how wonderful the answers were that the interviewee was giving. Everybody watching that had the same opportunity. And that's what happens every moment of our lives. We all, anyone who is privy to any given event, has the opportunity to learn from that event positively or to learn from it negatively. It's completely up to us.
And Walt, when we realize that we're having those spiraling days that we keep talking about, and we realize that the anticipation of the negative is bringing more negative, but when we find the positive even within the negative, that we open ourselves to new opportunities. And I don't remember the exact scenario, but here's the sort of the theme of the story, is there was a lady that was in Florida, and she was in a severe automobile accident. And she almost lost her right arm was trapped. She almost had it lost at the shoulder.
Wow.
And they didn't know she was going to make it, a lot of bleeding. So they get her to the hospital, they stop the bleeding. And they're looking at the upper right-hand shoulder where it's sort of ties into the chest area. And as they're starting to repair and get in there, they discover a very rare form of cancer.
Oh, my.
That was not detectable. It wasn't in the breast. And it was in the very early stages. This is an incurable cancer. It's considered a 96% death rate from this cancer.
Wow.
Unless it's caught in the early stages, and the very early stages, and there's no way to detect it.
Well, apparently there was. That's not one that we would normally pick, but...
So they removed that cancer. She was completely fine, and it was such an early stage that it had no chance of spreading. It had none of the nodules that spread it out. And they fixed her arm. She's, other than a pretty decent scar on her, you know, her bicep to her side of her chest, everything's fine. And her story... She was talking to somebody on a radio station about it at one point, about how one of the worst events of her life saved her life. So it can't be a worst event.
Once again, refusing to accept the negative side of it and choosing instead to focus on the positive side of it. Of course, there's also another question that often will enter my mind, which is, do we have to go through all these negatives in order to find positives? Can't we find positives in positive events too? Isn't that a whole lot easier?
It would be, but the positive themselves are the positive. So within the negative, I think what reinforces to most people is when they can see that silver lining that allows people to get through stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think what we're really saying here is because most people find themselves in negative mindsets, they're actually more easily placed for looking for positives where negatives are concerned, because the negatives are so much more commonplace in their lives. There are so many opportunities for it. And I guess my point is, it doesn't have to be that way. It just is that way just because of where the mindsets are of most people. Turn your mindset around, or at least start the process of turning your mindset around, and you're going to have more and more opportunities to find positives in positive situations, which is much more pleasant.
Absolutely.
It's really up to you. It depends on where you want to have your mindset, your general overall mindset. Do you want to stay by default in that negative space and just keep waiting for the negatives to come along so you can look for a positive silver lining in it? If you want to do that, well, fine, and the universe will comply. You can count on it, as sure as night follows day. But on the other hand, you could decide, you know what? I think I've had just about enough drama in my life. I think I actually want to have a nice life. A phrase we never hear, a nice life. I want to have a nice life. And will this happen instantly? Well, that depends on your mindset. Are you able to get yourself into a positive mindset and stay there throughout your day? I have not gotten there yet. I've gotten pretty close. I'm getting better at it. I actually had a day a couple weeks ago, Joel, where almost the entire day I was in a great mindset. And I said to myself, wow, I really want more of those. Those feel really good.
Well, right. And you know, one of the hypotheses that I had when I was going through my change as far as from that real extreme negative depressed state to the positive, non-depressed state that I live in most of the time now, that awakening that and this may be a little too out there for even our discussion on our show, but it, I believe that the mind becomes accustomed to living in the negative, and pulling out of the negative for me, and I can speak certainly for me, I would get positive, and then my brain would almost pull me back to the negative because that's where it had become so accustomed to living. Its baseline was sort of a depressed, negative state.
Yeah, I don't think that's out there at all. I think it's actually scientifically validated.
Right.
I mean, we know that when you reinforce the same neural pathways with the same experience over and over and over again, they become deeply ingrained to the point of becoming what we call habitual.
Right.
And that's what you're describing. You're describing habitual neural pathways producing the same result over and over and over again.
Yes. And
the really good news is neural pathways don't have to be habitually negative. They can also be habitually positive.
And you know, one of the things that I learned within that is, like, I would go to bed and things were great. You know, I believe I can do this. I can overcome this addictive behavior. I can turn my life around. I was facing so much at the time. And then I wake up the next morning and be like, this is overwhelming. There's no way I could do this. This is crazy to think I can do this. And the truth of the matter was nothing changed, but my brain went back to the old comfortable neural pathways of negativity.
Right.
And it wasn't till, just like you're saying, that I realized that that was taking place. And through practice and spending enough time in the positive, I now live more in the positive than the negative, and if I wake up negative, it's not comfortable. It's not near as comfortable as I was in it for the longest time. So it's, you know, you have, it is a practice of ongoing learning to use the positivity and the law of attraction on your behalf, because we've always used the law of attraction. It's just most of the time we didn't realize we were using it on the negative side of it. We were attacking our lives with it versus enhancing our lives with it.
In fact, you've told me numerous times about the methods that you use to break that spiral from the moment you wake up, because I know exactly what you mean. You can go to bed feeling good and wake up the next morning and you don't feel like that at all. That's the first signal that you have to break that spiral right now. You can't wait. So that's where it becomes really helpful to have these new patterns of behavior that you're adopting that help you get back into that positive mind frame. I know you've talked about, for instance, the vision boards that you have, but what are some of the other things you do in the morning in order to get yourself into that positive frame of mind?
Well, one of the things that I love doing, and this is way out in left field for most people, there's a term called rebounding, and I have a little in case somebody wants to rebound with me, and there are limitless numbers of benefits from rebounding. And rebounding, it's just jumping up and down on a mini trampoline for 10 or 15 minutes every morning. Well, what that does, it literally starts cleaning out, you know, all people with vertigo find great benefits in this. People with the mitochondria of cells, which exist in all cells, it causes them to sort of pump out the negative, the waste products that are in our body. So I get up every morning and I rebound for 10 or 15 minutes on my trampoline. It's one of the most amazing discoveries I've ever made. That's one of my starting day things that I find is amazing. I listen every morning to positive reinforcements or a speaker that believes in the law of attraction or positive psychology. Every morning I listen to 10 or 15 minutes of that. And I try to find a beginning. That's when I'm having breakfast. After I've rebounded, I have my breakfast and I listen to positive, and I intend on having a nice day, having the day that that's when I walk out the door. Ironically, the day that I had the red lights and had all the stuff going on, I was unable to get my rebounding and positive affirmations that morning. And it really, and the rebounding,
it shows just how much reprogramming we have to do.
Yes.
Because you fell so easily into an old pattern, even though you've been working very diligently on giving yourself a new positive pattern every morning. It takes a while to wipe clean the old neural pattern, replace it with a new neural pattern.
Right.
If by persisting at it, you'll get there. You'll get to the point where, you know, where just having one day where you forgot to do it or you couldn't get to it or whatever, it makes no difference because you've learned to have enough experience with the positive every morning that your body starts to expect it. It just takes some time to get there.
It does. And one of the things that I love the most, Walt, that I've learned is I don't know why I find this so amazing to me, but when I went to my halfway house and I was facing all the stuff I was facing in recovery, they had very little rules. It was an addiction, a gambling-specific halfway house. So I had one of the rules was you make your bed every day. Well, I've never made my bed in my life, ever. Because part of my job that was I was going to follow rules. I hadn't followed rules in my life, and their rules. I was blessed to be able to be there, so I'm going to follow the rules. Every day I got up, and making the bed simply meant pulling your comforter up. And I did that, and I am shocked that after about 30 days, 28 to 30 days, I was doing it without thinking about it.
Mm.
And I, to this day, every single day, I make my bed. And on Thursdays when I have a cleaning lady come in, she's actually asked me not to make my bed because she's changing my sheets, and I'm like, you're just going to have to unmake it. I don't separate Thursdays from any other day. It's just a habit, and it feels weird if I don't do it. So it is something that over 20 years ago I started for 30 straight days, and it changed. It is part of my neural pathway of thinking. It's just like me brushing my teeth. It's just, I couldn't imagine going out in the day without brushing your teeth. I mean, that would be crazy. We do it every day. You don't even think about it. I know I brushed my teeth this morning. I don't specifically remember brushing my teeth, but I know I did. and I don't remember making it my bed per se, but I'm looking at it. When I go home and look at it today, it'll be made up.
Mm-hmm.
So this is it happened. That's such a minor example of the bigger picture that when you condition and when you keep working, this is an ongoing process. So people that are trying it and are maybe getting frustrated have to realize a change has to take place in your brain. And it does. One of the 12-step sayings that I love, and I'm not a big fan of a lot of 12-step sayings, but one I love is fake it until you make it.
Mm.
And that's what they're talking about. Act as if you're positive for a while. Start, even if you're really not, just start doing that, and it eventually becomes real.
Yeah, one of the things that always struck me as being kind of ironic and, both positive and negative about these 30-day programs is, on the one hand, if you can work through the 30-day program and do it every single day, you actually get a positive result that can stick with you, like you say, for life. But on the other hand, most of us never get past day two.
Right.
And that's the real tricky thing about them. They call it a 30-day challenge for a reason, because the challenge is stick to it for 30 days.
If you can
do it, it pays off big time. You just have to be willing to do it. And
right.
You have to really, sometimes you have to kind of push yourself to do it. You kind of have to say, I really don't want to do that today, but, I know I'm going to feel better, so, okay, I'm going to do it anyway. And then do that the same thing the next day until finally you're to the point where you say, I get to do this every day.
Right, and that's where and you start by changing, you said a key word there, I don't even know if you realizing what you said, I get to do this every day.
Yes.
I don't have to do this every day. I one of the first things I start with people when I'm working with, I have to go to work today. Oh, no, stop that. You get to go to work today. You have a job that pays your bills. It might not be the job you want, but right now you have a job. So many people are praying for what you have. You rephrase that. Start changing that inner dialogue. I get to do. I'm able to do. Versus
absolutely.
I have to do.
Oh yeah, actually we get to draw this program to a close because we're out of time.
Wow, that's so fast every week. Amazing.
It is amazing, but we really enjoy it, and we're glad that you join us to listen to what we're talking about. And as I mentioned last week, we're really looking forward to the time when we can take your phone calls. We're both psyched for that. But Joel, it's been a pleasure as usual.
Thank you, Walt.
We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody. It might seem-